I love to hear good preaching myself, and I'm glad every time we have an evangelist or a missionary come through that stop and visit with us, and that way I get to hear some preaching. And Brother Jim Madden is a missionary to the military here in New Jersey. We hope that you'll take some time and visit his table in the back, and he'll be back there after the service to chat with you, and if you have any questions for him. And the Lord has burdened him to reach our military right here in our Garden State, as many are being called up and many are being shipped out, many are being trained, and many are in transition. And, you know, when God burdens someone's heart, he's burdening hearts on the other end. So he's burdening the preacher, but he's burdening and getting ready a group to listen. And I believe many military people are open to the gospel because of the stressful work that they do, and what better time to reach them, especially those before they go into harm's way. And so we're privileged this morning to have Brother Jim Madden with us. And Brother Jim, the rest of the time is yours, and God bless you.
All right. Wonderful to be here today. You have your Bibles turned to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. Before we read, we'll have a word of prayer. Book of Acts chapter 1. Let's take this time to ask the Lord's blessing on this service. Father God, I do thank you for your goodness. Lord, thank you for the wonderful salvation you've given us so freely in Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather around your word, present the burden of my heart, Lord. And I just ask that you'd meet with us in a special way. Father, we'll give you the praise that Jesus Christ be lifted up and draw someone to him today. In his precious name I pray. Amen. Acts chapter 1. It's good to be here today. I'm used to preaching to young people. I was a school administrator, and the other group of people I preach to is a rescue mission. So this just doesn't qualify for either. But praise the Lord and thank the Lord for that. Let's look at Acts chapter 1, and we'll read verse 1 to verse 7. Verse 8, 1 to 8. Former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining of the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Okay, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. We'd all agree today that the Bible is our sole authority. It's our authority for faith and for practice. God said it. God meant it. He's preserved it for us. I have the Word of God between two covers. I'm so thankful to be able to, I can stand here and say, thus saith the Lord. I actually went to a Christian college. You would know about it. I won't say anything more. It's a very popular Christian college. The head of their Bible department actually stood up and said, well, you know, we could have a third Chronicles. It still hasn't been found yet, which tells me he didn't believe in the canonicity of Scripture. He didn't believe in a lot of things that you and I would hold and take as the Word of God. So that means he could still have something changed in his Bible. We're going to study and look today at authority and the Great Commission. And we're going to start with just talking about the word commission. In the military, there are non-commissioned officers and commissioned officers. And in the Bible, commission is an authority. A commission is an authority to act for, in behalf of, or in the place of another. So a commission is the authority to act for, in the behalf of, or in the place of another. It's giving a formal charge to do something or formally entrusting a responsibility to someone. Responsibility. We'll see that the responsibility of us is to be obedient. If you want to get blessed in life, you need to be obedient. I know I got saved later in life. I got saved when I was 38 years old, but I found out from the little children's song, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. And I also found out that when you're obedient, God blesses your life. He blesses obedience. God doesn't bless me because I'm Jim Madden. God blesses me because I'm obedient to his word. And so we're going to see today that authority to act for, in the behalf of, or in the place of another. And today I'm here on deputation. Deputation is the act of appointing as a deputy. I'm being deputized. Okay, that's what I'm out here for. It is a commission to represent a third party. Our example would be a sheriff. The sheriff is given his authority by the town or by the county, and the county says, we want you to enforce our laws. You're the sheriff. Now, the sheriff is one man, and Bergen County is a large county. So how does the sheriff of Bergen County enforce the laws? Of course, he deputizes people. He hires deputies who act on his behalf. They only operate in the guidelines that he established. So we have that as an example. A sheriff is given authority to keep law and order. And the event happens to be in Bergen County that it's too much for one man, so he hires deputies and he deputizes them. And so I'm here today to be deputized. I'm here to be acting on someone else's behalf to carry out the responsibility. In our scriptures, we're going to find that there's many examples of God deputizing people. Let's go to the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 3. In Exodus chapter 3. We're going to look at Moses and Aaron today. In Exodus chapter 3. Verse number 10. And the Lord is speaking to Moses here in Exodus 3:10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God has given Moses a responsibility. He's commissioned him to carry out an act to go and to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. What do you think Moses does? Sure, Lord, let's go. I'm ready to go. In verse number 11, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And so Moses hesitates. Moses has an excuse. I'm too weak. I'm too meek. Moses was a very meek, truly meek man. But Moses didn't want to stand up to the responsibility. So God deputizes Aaron. And God says, let's look at, first off, in what we just read, that's the first example of the Lord commissioning a spokesperson, is when God calls Moses to go to Pharaoh. And let's look at Exodus 4, verse 14. Exodus 4, verse 14. And now God has to deputize someone. It's not God's perfect will, but it's God's will that Moses goes, and here's what he says. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of a God. Whatever you tell him, he will speak. So God has an example there of someone who's commissioned to do an assignment and someone who's deputized to carry out what God has commissioned. And if we follow that reasoning, and you give me some liberty that there's many examples in the scriptures, let's look at Matthew chapter 28 and the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 through 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Here we have the Great Commission, and I believe is given to the local church. I believe it's given to this body here in, I think we're in Garfield, New Jersey. I knew that. It just slipped my mind. I kept thinking of Bergen, but Garfield, New Jersey. And that responsibility is given to us. Go ye, therefore. Ye is plural. It's you go, therefore. And the commission is given to the church. And I believe that you believe that also. I believe that you believe that it's given to the church and not to an individual. Because let me ask you, how many here have their passports? How many here? Okay, you have your passport. Okay, how many of your passports are filled up with all the places all around that you've went carrying the gospel? Mine isn't. You know, it's not to us. We're not going to take this commission and run out with it. We're not going to do that. We don't believe that. We believe that this commission is given to the local church. And so, you know, so we believe it's given to the commission is given to the local church. And now, let me ask you something. How many here, you don't have to raise your hands, but go out on a church visitation program or go out soul winning door knocking or go out carrying the gospel and carrying gospel tracts when you go to work? Of course we do that. We believe that it's our responsibility personally to try to win someone to Jesus Christ. So God has given the commission to the local church, and we as members of the local church do our best to carry out the Lord's commission. Now the thing is, how many here are going to go to Russia? How many here are going to go to Australia or go to Bolivia or go to South Africa? How many here? You see, the thing is, God's given the commission to the local church. We want to carry it out, but we have to deputize someone else to go where we can't. We have to deputize in order to cover all the positions that God has and all the places that God wants to take the gospel. It's necessary for us to work hard to raise money to send missionaries to go and do a work for us that we can't do for ourselves. And I believe that that's the plan in the Bible. I believe that we can show that God wants the local church to deputize people of like faith, of like beliefs, who are going to carry the gospel message to the lost and dying world. Carry it in places where we can't possibly go ourselves. The thing is, we deputize them and make it like a hired gun. That's what I'm here today. Have done, will travel. You know, that's... what the plan I believe that God has for us. To go back to what we read in Acts chapter 1, I want to read just one verse again. In Acts chapter 1, we'll just go right to verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Did you ever think about the great changes that took place in this portion of Scripture? The great things that all have changed from that point of Scripture on towards the end of the Bible. If you think about it, up until Matthew 28, up until Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Old Testament, God was dealing with a person, Abraham, and God was dealing with a nation, Israel. And God's plan was to have an obedient people, the nation of Israel, who would obey him, that he could bless them, that they could go out and show the world that there is a living God. And that was his plan. They were to, and they always didn't, excuse me, they didn't go out, they always came in. They came to the priest, they came to the temple, they came to the tabernacle, they were always coming in. And here, now it's gone the other direction. Now, it's where to go out. We're to go out and make disciples. We're to go out and take the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And from this time on, until the end of the Scriptures, it's to go out to the highways and hedges. It's to go out and compel them to come in. It's to go out and share the gospel. In the Old Testament, nation of Israel was told where and when and how they were to worship. And if you were going to worship God truly, and that was the way. It was in that way. And God had the priests to carry out the sacrifices. And now, in Acts chapter 1, after the great sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ was completed, we're instructed to go out to the highways and hedges, go and preach the gospel to every creature. What happened to the early church after Acts chapter 1, verse 8? You know, they weren't obedient. They didn't go out and do. They didn't go to Jerusalem and all Judea and all Samaria and unto the othermost part of the world. You know how I know? Because there's Acts chapter 8, verse number 1. Let's look at Acts chapter 8 and verse number 1. Chapter 8, verse number 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, God said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go out to the highways and hedges. I want you to go out to the Samaritans. I want you to go out of Judea. I want you to go out to the uttermost parts. And they said, well, that sounds good. The Lord's not here. Well, I'm working and things are going well. And, it's kind of comfortable right here right now. I think we'll just stay. And then God had to bring about Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And a great persecution came against the church. And when the church was persecuted, guess where they went? Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. So God in his mercy and God in his directive grace, he brought the church to that place where it would be obedient. And so God could bless them. And one other point, and this is something a little sidebar, but we're going to go here for just a second. In the first chapter of the book of James, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it. It said, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. You see, God had to accomplish his will by sending persecution to the early church. And God did, and the church spread and multiplied. And you know something? I don't know about you, but if you ever witness to a Mormon, it's becoming more difficult and more difficult because they are polishing up their routine and polishing up their their vocabulary, although they believe so much differently than we believe, but they are becoming more professional at their presentation of their religion. It's becoming more difficult to witness to them, to win them. I don't know, if you talk to them, they'll say, oh, well, you know, without faith without works is dead. And the thing is, in the book of James, number one, we saw it was written, or we heard it was written to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, which means it's one of the very earliest of the epistles. It's one of the very earliest. It's not contradicting Paul. It was written before the Apostle Paul was even saved, as we saw in Acts chapter 8, verse 1. So when they say, oh, well, faith without works in the book of James, it was contradicting Paul. Paul was corrected. No, he wasn't. It was written before Paul was even saved. It was written early, early on in the church age. Number two is, if you read the book of James, you're going to find that the book of James says this. It says that our faith that men see is only the works that we do. The works that we do is the only thing that men can see. You won't see my faith. God sees my faith. But you can't see it but by the works that I perform, but by the life that I live. That's the only way you can see my faith, is by what I do. So if I don't do anything, my faith is dead as far as my horizontal action. But as far as my vertical action, God sees my heart. God knows my faith. So the Mormons are kind of all mixed up, and I don't know, I threw that in because every time I witness to them, I get so frustrated, and they're becoming so much more polished and so much more proficient at what they do. You know, the early church found it difficult to carry out the Lord's command. They found it difficult to go. I don't know what the reason was. Maybe their donkey broke down. You know, maybe they were a little too busy, you know, making whatever the breads were of the day and things like that. But God had to bring persecution to the church, and God had to accomplish that, his will. You know, I don't believe that God necessarily wanted to do that, but he wanted to carry out his will. And I believe we've expressed what God's will is. God's will is for the church to be responsible to get the gospel to the uttermost part of the world. And because we can't all go ourselves, God wants to deputize people to send them to do that will. And, you know, I think that's the important message. And today, to lighten things up a bit, I guess you're wondering how I'd like to share how I got here. And it was up the Jersey Turnpike, exit 16W, and that's not what I meant. How did I come here to express the burden I have for the military? I was sitting in a church service, sort of like you are, and a missionary came in, and he showed a slide presentation, and I was sitting in the back ushering, minding my own business. I was a school principal. I have a family. I was minding my own business when the Holy Spirit started to tap on my heart. And I said, Lord, I know it's you, but, you know, what's wrong? Am I not ushering correctly? You know, Lord, what is it? And the missionary was speaking, and the Holy Spirit kept hitting my heart. I said, Lord, I'm 50 years old. I have a family. Lord, my wife, she won't understand. Lord, I said, you're right, Lord. You're calling me to be a missionary. I said, I surrender. I'll surrender. That's it. That's it. So I told my wife, I said, hon, the Lord's called me to be a missionary. You're crazy. You're out of your mind. You know what we've been through? You don't make any money now. How are we going to do that? I said, Lord, I don't know, hon. I really don't know. I don't know where I'm called. I just know the Lord wants me to in missions. Then I went to my pastor. I thought, here's going to be some good news. I'll go see my pastor. Pastor, I said, you're not going to believe this, but the other night the Lord called me to missions. I said, oh, that's wonderful, Jim. Now you have to resign your job. I said, excuse me? He said, well, yeah, you can't be a missionary and a school principal. I said, well, you're right. I agree with you. But I didn't know it would be like that, you know. Okay, so I resigned my job. And that May was my last year as a school principal, still not knowing what God wanted me to do. So then I needed to find work. So there's a gentleman in the church there who owns a business. And he owns an exterminating business. So he hired me to go out and climb ladders and catch squirrels and remove birds and and all that sort of thing. So that's what I do for a living. That's sort of how I got here. And then we moved churches. My wife and I, after 20 years, moved across the river to New Jersey and from Philadelphia. And we're at Harbor Baptist Church in Moorestown, New Jersey. And we were quite content to be there, sitting in the pew again, when after an evening service, the pastor called us and asked us to meet him in his office. I thought, what did my kids do? What happened, you know? So my wife and I went to the pastor's office, and the pastor said, Jim, he said, we started a ministry here to the military. It's a ministry we'd like to really increase. And the thing is, the man who started it is now pastoring in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And we were going to use another couple from our church. However, their family's not quite right, and they're not ready to do this. Would you pray about it? Would you come and see it and look at it and pray about it? I said, sure, I will. So my wife and I went home and prayed about it. I said, hon, do you believe this? I said, not only we're not going to Congo, or we're not going to Iceland, or, you know, someplace like that. I said, the Lord has us right here to go to the military as missionaries. And it just started to open up, and I went up to Fort Dix, and I started to get involved there. And the Lord has burdened my heart in 3 months' time for the military. And it's something I've done for a lot of my life. I was in the military for 9 years, and I was pretty good at it. But the thing is, the people I see are young men and young ladies who don't have a clue about eternal things. And it wasn't that long ago, maybe 15 years ago, I was in their condition. And I see that the thing they need is the Lord Jesus Christ. They have, you know, nice uniforms, nice housing, nice things to do, but they need the Lord. And I'll tell you, you're not ready to serve your country as a soldier until you're ready to die, until you're ready to meet the Lord. And so I know you can't threaten me with heaven. I live in Philadelphia, and I travel around, and it's scary. I'm 50-some years old. Maybe it's because of my age. I'm 54 years old. Maybe it's because of my age. But I start looking over my shoulder. Maybe it's because of the time in which we live. But the thing is, you can't threaten me with heaven. I know that I know that when I die, I'm going to be with Jesus Christ. And so I have everything. I have everything in Christ. And so these young people, these soldiers, they need to know Jesus Christ. They need to know that, and God forbid that when and if they were to go to war and they were not to come home, that they would be in heaven. And that's the thing. I want to see them in heaven. If you go with me to the last place and we're finished, Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Verses 1 through 10. In the Bible, in the New Testament, there's many references to soldiers. Most of the references to soldiers are negative. There is some instructions to soldiers not to take what does not belong to you, what is not rightfully yours, to listen to your authorities. But most of the time, it's negative references around the base of the cross and things like that, the soldiers who beat Jesus and spat on Jesus. And then there's references to centurions, which are leaders of soldiers, like platoon leaders. And every reference in the New Testament to a centurion is a good reference. I don't understand that, but we'll figure that out here. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Do you understand what's going on here? We have a Roman soldier going to the Jewish religious leaders who hated Jesus and asking them to ask Jesus to come to him. So the Jews, who were not supposed to have anything to do with the Gentiles, are being asked by this Roman soldier to get Jesus, who they don't like, to come to his house. So that's an unusual situation right there. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly or earnestly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent his friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, and have under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned about him, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. You see, he understood authority. He understood that, I believe in this verse, that centurion understood that Jesus was sent from his Father. I believe he understood that. And so, he received a testimony from Jesus Christ. It says, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Here is a man who's a soldier in leadership as a soldier, and Jesus says to the rulers of the nation of Israel, there's faith. He's obedient. He listens to his authorities, and he understands that I'm sent from my Father. I believe they see that. And then the thing that really struck to my heart, why should we go reach the military? Why should we spend our time and our money and our efforts? And we said it all in verse number 5. For he loveth our nation. Greater love hath no man than this, than that he lay down his life for his friends. And you see, we have young people at the age of 20 who are going off and laying down their life for you and for I. And I believe it's a necessary thing. This is my personal belief. I believe it's a necessary thing. I believe that we have an enemy. And the enemy is against our way of life and against our religion and against who we are. And that enemy is very vocal and very adamant and very structured to be against us. But why? Let's forget all that. Let's forget all what I just said. But the thing is, why should we go reach our 20-year-old military men? Why should we go reach our 20-year-old military women? Because they love our nation. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
I'm glad that I live in a country that produces young men and women like we have. The very best of the best. Each generation is able to produce young people like that, willing to give their life for us. What a wonderful thing when you think about it. Amen. Thank you.